Zoom. I've never used Zoom.
I have a lot.
Yeah, I do it for meetings, but it's also Zoom. And unless we're talking about the PBS show, really don't care about it. Be honest with you.
That was so whack. That was whack.
You're a hater.
The PBS. Come on, and Zoom. That's my show after that.
Right. It's a great show, and that's why we don't need to always reuse names. But let's go ahead and get into this week's episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast, hosted by me, Alan Pettigrew Jr. And in front of me are my two good friends. Philip, why is your face scrunched up as if you've never heard me do the intro like this?
Oh, because I couldn't tell if we're recording or not. And then midway through that sentence, it told me we were recording, so forget about that.
Oh yeah, bro. I'm good at what are those called? Pivots. You just
cold opens.
Huh?
Cold opens.
Yeah, let's go with that. Anyway, guys, go ahead and introduce yourselves for the millionth time.
Once again, everybody, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's a pleasure to be here. And honestly, I'm just killing time until next week when we talk about college basketball.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Philip Dixon, aka King Brahma. Tech N9ne shouted me out on that new song he made with The Rock. I'm here to talk about that league. The league. The WNBA.
You said the WNBA? That is so nice.
I'm joking. We all know I'm at the NBA. Continue.
The WNBA season ended like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations to the Chicago Sky. Great story all around. Allie Quigley, Candace Parker, so many others. Sorry, guys. You will get a shout out at the end of this video, I promise. Note to editor. Anyway, guys, let's go ahead and talk to our fans about the biggest surprises of the league so far. It's only been, 3 weeks in, so these will probably change in another 3 weeks. But that's all the NBA has given us so far because no one has. Yeah, actually, Kevin Durant been acting up, and I really appreciate what's going on over there. It's making for great TV. He out here throwing them sharp-ass elbows and throwing the ball into the stands. I appreciate that, man. Keep it up, but, don't get a really bad rep because it's not going to make me like you any less. I had to hear people complain about stupid stuff. But outside of that, Philip, I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor to you on your biggest surprise of this early NBA season.
The biggest surprise of this early NBA season to me is the fact that the New York Knicks are the best team in New York, right? Between, obviously, the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. Now, before the season began, people were like, the Nets don't need Kyrie. I personally was like, the Nets don't need Kyrie. I still believe the Nets don't need Kyrie. But as of this date, they would not be the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks have more fluidity, more flow, more impassioned to play. The Julius Randle seems to have progressed since last season. RJ Barrett seems to have progressed since last season, and they don't have any players whose game is at a detriment because of these new NBA rule changes for the guards, right? James Harden, his game is looking real different because of these rule changes, right? And it's pretty incredible to see how much that one singular rule, or whatever the rules are, shifted how these guards score nowadays. It's interesting to see. Now, I can't wait to see how they adjust, because it's going to take some time for them to adjust because they've been doing the same thing for the last couple of years. But James Harden is one of these players who's putting up good numbers still, but he's having to change his game because of, you know, the non-foul calls that he, or the foul calls that he is not getting, I should say, right? But that would be my biggest surprise of the season, is the comparison of the New York Knicks to the Brooklyn Nets at this very moment. But on a side note, to go along with that, and then we continue forward with your guys' comments, the Brooklyn Nets, psych, the New York Knicks possibly have the best, most entertaining fan base in all of sports, arguably. And here's why. They are so delusional. It is fantastic. So, Laker fans, for example, are delusional. But they usually have really good teams to back up their, like, thought process. But the Knicks are delusional. And they don't ever have good teams. But as soon as a team that they have is average or a bit above average, they think that they're ready to run through a wall for the New York Knicks. And I'm just, you know, here enjoying the ride. Because also, people in New York City who are Knicks fans are ignorant. Not ignorant in a negative way. Ignorant in the most entertaining of ways. And if you're on Twitter, if you're on Instagram, you're on TikTok, you're on any social media at all, you are seeing these New York Knicks fans, not Net fans, because they different. You're seeing the New York Knicks fans going buck wild. Bing bong, you know what I mean? So it's something to behold. And, you know, every time the Knicks do well enough, like, then I don't do well, actually. Every time they do well enough to get to the playoffs, which in the NBA is, like, so minimal. Every time they get to that level, they kind of showcase why their fan base is so extra, and it's incredible to watch. So that's a little side note I had when it came to the Knicks, but for the main topic at hand, the Knicks are the best team in New York, and that is the most entertaining.
All right, I got a question for you based off that. The Knicks, where do you see them finishing this season? They top five?
They're top five. They're definitely top six, but they have an opportunity to be top five, right? Because Tobias Harris is going to be out for a little bit, from what I read, like, earlier today. Ben Simmons scenario, whatever. And Joel Embiid, no matter how good he is, can't take that team to the heights they could be, literally by himself in a league that's full of, you know, these amazing teams we have so far today, right? So take them out of the equation. And then, shucks, the Bucks are going to be fine. They're not going great right now, but they'll be fine eventually. And then the Knicks can beat the Celtics. The Knicks can beat the Bulls. The Knicks can beat the Nets. The Knicks can beat any other team that is in a top five, arguably, right? The only teams that are probably unarguable are the Miami Heat, possibly. The Milwaukee Bucks later on when they get that, you know, rust off the championship off of them later on the season. And then what a
Atlanta?
Team. Huh?
Atlanta? You think they're gonna smack Atlanta this year?
Beat Atlanta. That's arguable though. These other teams aren't arguable. Like, I don't think it's arguable that the Knicks can beat, you know, the Bucks. Or I don't think it's arguable that the Knicks can beat, you know, the two, three top best teams in the East. But outside of that, the Knicks can be top five easily. Kemba Walker is playing like he deserved that contract. Like, Kemba Walker's playing as if the Boston Celtics, Kemba Walker didn't exist. Right? With Derrick Rose backing him up off the bench, which is all guaranteed, you know, efficient craziness, right? This is great numbers. Then you have Julius Randle, who isn't just getting the ball and just doing his thing, but is playing through somewhat of an offense now. Along with RJ Barrett, who has stepped up his game this season so far, this year. They're nothing to reckon with. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. So they're going to be top five for sure. Watch.
Okay. Yeah, no, that is a bold prediction and a very early sleeper. You know, I still have not watched a full game of the Knicks. I think I watched like a quarter.
Well, like, that bull game was entertaining.
See, I might have to run that one back up because
watch the Knicks and you will be entertained. Because, like, literally, let's say you're not entertained by the way Julius Randle plays basketball, right? Who's not entertained by the way Derrick Rose plays basketball, right? Kim Walker, who's not entertained? When Kim Walker is Kim Walker, who's not entertained by Kim Walker playing basketball? And RJ Barrett is doing his thing. He really is. It's just fun to watch. Now, people are saying the Pelicans are dumb for taking Zion over RJ now. That's obviously a presence. But RJ is, but like longevity wise, and just like, I don't know. Zion's not on the court. So longevity wise, it's looking. I'm not saying you make a mistake, because we all would have made that mistake, right? Like, every single person who's saying that's a mistake would have made that mistake at that time. But, that mistake, I put mistake in quotes, right? But, RJ's holding he's holding it there. Like, yeah, I'm that guy. And I'm really doing my thing in New York, and likes to play, and like, is really good at playing. And Obi is like getting a lot more minutes and doing his thing too. You know what I mean? Transition, he's like unstoppable. It's pretty crazy to watch. So, Knicks top five. I'll put money on it. Alan, how much you want to put on it? Okay, well, let's put number one from Burger King.
No, because I refuse to eat anything from Burger King. What is the monetary equivalent to that? Is that like $7? I don't know.
No, I want something like an object.
You want an object?
Canes? You eat Raising Canes?
Ain't no Raising Canes down here, big boy.
You eat Zaxby's? Zaxby's out there.
But last time I went to Zaxby's, they burnt the mess out the wings, though. We gotta come up with something better than this. Hey, y'all got a Cinnabon down there? I'll bet you a Cinnabon all day. Yeah, son.
A Cinnabon.
Yeah.
The mall?
You said what?
Like the ones in the mall?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume so. You want something from Cinnabon?
Bro, yeah, I eat a Cinnabon. I feel like that's plenty worth. That's high stakes right there.
Man got sweet tooth. Yes. Listen, I'll take something from Cinnabon then, I guess. Right. Sure. Cinnabon, the most expensive cinnamon they got.
You go with your thing of Burger King. I want a Cinnabon. That's what we putting up.
Well, and we're putting up if the Knicks are in top five in the East by the end of the season.
Okay, top five is a hell of a variance, bro. Because what, ain't number six darn near putting you in what's that, play in territory?
Hey, I'm gonna need you to be confident.
It's not a good bet. I'm gonna have to throw this one out. Sorry, big dog. I can't do it.
Burger King.
I can't do it, bro. That's a setup.
Facts. I was about to set you up. 100%. But okay. But yeah, that's my big surprise for this year, though.
Okay. Well, Calvin, I'm still calculating mine, so I'm gonna go ahead and let you take the reins over for this one.
Okay, so first, just one like I've kind of looked at, and it's kind of surprising. Granted, I haven't watched a Nuggets game, but Michael Porter Jr. is not playing well. Like, I'm not sure if you've seen the numbers, but so far he's averaging 10 points a game off 33% shooting and 25% from deep.
Ooh.
On what? That is not what we were expecting.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Like, exactly.
Like the Nuggets playoff games he had last year without Murray, that's definitely not a thing we're expecting.
Like, the thing is, even with that, though, right? They're still just 4-2 so far. So, like, they're still playing. Like, they're still winning. But it's kind of like...
Wait, isn't Jokic hurt?
If he's hurt, he just got hurt. He's played all six games to this point.
No, I know. I really think he just got hurt, though, or am I tripping?
Check. I haven't kept tabs. I don't think he's gotten hurt, but he's played in all six games.
Okay.
Right, and so far he's averaging 24, 14, and 5.
All right, say it one more time.
Jokic is averaging 24 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists.
It's hilarious how I don't know how to spell this man's name, and I haven't gotten close enough. I haven't gotten close enough for Google to go, did you mean? That's bad.
Now, how you messing up his name? His name's kind of simple. Especially when we're talking about, like, the foreign dudes. Like it ain't Andre Kirilenko.
Listen, continue forward. I just want to put that out there. That I spelled really so wrong that even Google was like, you tripping. Continue, Calvin.
But nah, it's just like, it's as far as one of my surprises, like that's one of them, is just like how poorly he's playing to start the year. Not just that he's playing poorly, but like his team is winning anyway, but it's just kind of shocking. Also, the Wizards continue to not suck. They are 5-1 on the year. Dang it, I just had it. Give me a second. Yeah. Because before we started, Alan was wondering who they've played.
Yeah, and before you go over to them while you looking this up, I just want to give y'all some numbers. So, you know, Michael Porter Jr., this is only his third season that he's actually played, right? So, This is basically his rookie stats all over again, except he's fouling more and more turnover prone. And that could just be because he's getting more minutes on the floor. Because he was literally in 16 minutes in that first year that he actually played, he was scoring 9.3 points, having 1.8, we'll call it two fouls a game, and just under one turnover. Pretty much double the time he's playing in 31 minutes. 10.8 points, 2.5 fouls, and 2 turnovers. So he's basically playing the same, except he's not producing whatsoever.
It could just be folks have the scouting report on him now.
What?
That kind of figures you out.
Sorry.
Hmm? Like, you know, maybe the handle's not quite there. We can, of course, pick on you on defense.
Yeah.
And, like, you can shoot over people, but, like, and, again, I want to watch the game more, be more accurate, but, like, I don't know. You can't really create. We can irritate you off ball. So, like, that might be part of it. But even then, like, the drop-off, granted, still early in the season, is just, it's kind of shocking. Like, I'm not going to pretend.
You know, to not be a complete Debbie Downer this early in the season, he has been a much better distributor with 2 assists a game. And he's much better on the defensive end, at least for the counting stats, with a career high 1.3 steals a game. So he's trying.
Okay.
That effect.
I mean, it might come around. It might
awful
just,
though.
Like it might just be a slump to start the season offensively. Like, but you know, time will tell. As far as the Wizards, though, so far to start the season, they played the Raptors, the Pacers, the Nets, the Celtics, the Hawks,
teams.
And the Celtics again in double OT.
That was a crazy game. Those are good teams. I mean,
except
yeah,
for, well, the Pacers are bad.
In any way, shape, or form is always going to be a surprise. Like, literally, like always. 100, like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah, I wasn't alive when the Bullets were over here killing it. I was playing minimal attention to basketball when Gilbert Arenas being a thing. Then John Wall was like that guy, but like they never won anything. With him and Bradley Beal, they're just like a really fun tandem to watch together. But like, so like, yeah, that's definitely a really big surprise actually. seven games in or whatever it's been.
yeah. Like, I mean, they don't have a bad group of guys over there. Like, just about everybody over there has had, outside of Bradley, and no, even Bradley Beal, like decently deep playoff runs. Like, we're talking about second round conference finals. Kuzma got a ring, right?
Okay, stop. Stop.
Kuzma was important to that team.
Kuzma is so far the game changer for the culture of the Wizards basketball team. Apparently, that's essentially what you're saying.
Hey, so sometimes it takes just that one piece, you know. Even if you came off the bench, it's a culture thing. So he showed them how to get. You said what?
Off the bench or he's starting?
I have no idea. I haven't watched it. I don't plan on watching.
I assume he's starting.
I don't plan on watching. Ignorance. So, I don't.
Like, Kuzma's averaging 15 and 11.
You said
so
what?
Like, I'd assume Kuzma's currently averaging 15 and 11. So, like, I'm pretty sure the man's starting.
A ring changes everything, baby.
Listen, first of all, shut up. Secondly, I refuse to give Kyle Kuzma any credit in any way, shape, or form for whatever reason.
Hey, you remember when people were talking crazy about Kyle Kuzma? Like, he about to just go over there and waste away. He's out here averaging a double-double, bro.
I talk crazy about Kyle Kuzma all the time. Like, it's a sport for me.
That's Daddy Kuz to you now.
This man averaging 15-11. He's not averaging 15-11. He's not going crazy. Like, relax. He averaging a double-double. You're right.
15-11. Are those the best numbers of his career? Calvin. I can almost guarantee you he has never had to produce this much. This is Daddy Kuz now, bro.
No. But what you do is you got to go, did he average 15-11 in a seven-game stretch? Not a season. Just a stretch of seven games at any point in his career? I promise you he did at some point. At some point for Lakers, he had a stretch of doing better in seven games than 15-11. So let's not try to pretend it's an entire season combined average.
Come so on. for the record,
see what we're trying to do. That was right, cool, but
these are like collectively the best numbers he's ever put up. Like, he's averaged more points. You know, second year in the league, he put up. Like a little over 18 a game, but like, he's never averaged this many rebounds, right? Prior to this,
18 for a season. At some point in that season, there was a seven game stretch to where he was killing.
It's easier for him to have a seven game stretch where he was averaging 25 than 15-11.
Wait, because LeBron came.
Like
his sophomore year, that was LeBron came, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. When they were the 10th seed in the West, rubbing it up.
And then my people here.
But like, as far as rebounds, his closest average prior to this was 6.3 in his rookie year.
That's what the leap looks like, guys.
Nah, but like. Getting kind of serious again for half a second, because I'm sure this is going to go off the rails again here momentarily. But, like, I'm not going to lie to you. When I looked at the roster prior to the season starting, it did not embolden me with confidence. I won't sit and pretend, right? It didn't. But, like, they seem to be producing. And, like, this is also, oddly enough, without Hachimura, who appears to just kind of be MIA. For mental health reasons or something. I'm not really sure. Hope he's okay, whatever it is. But, like, they're playing good basketball. Spencer Dinwiddie's averaging just under 20. Harrell is averaging just under 20 and 10.
That's not going to last. He's not going to be averaging 20 a season.
You sleep. Spencer Dinwiddie, that dude. He's a 20-point per game scorer in this league.
You think so?
Just don't depend on him for your defense.
Exactly. Like, we can go look up his stats. He ain't never played on a team that's been worked a whole lot, except...
Well, but that's last year, didn't he?
No, he was on the team. He was hurt.
Yeah.
No, he got hurt. But when he played, he played for a certain amount of time.
He played 3 games last year.
Really?
Yeah. Now, he played with the Nets before that when they had a playoff run.
You're right. That's
a few years ago. I can't tell you the year to save my life. But he was very important there, and I believe he scored like 20-something. He won like 6 man in a year.
Like the 19-20 season, he put up, 20 points and 6.8 assists? The
19-20 season. Oh, 20.
Like,
that's my fault.
Wait, how?
You? In my head, you were looking at...
I know exactly what was in your head. I'm just like, really?
No, in my head, you were looking at the year 2019. And you just had a dyslexic moment and flipped it. But then I realized that you're just going, no, 2019 and 2020. So, yeah. Like, my B.
Yeah.
But, like, this statistically would be somewhere between his best and second best season, depending on how you, like, how much you care about three-point percentage. In fairness, you can also make the argument that his three-point percentage isn't sustainable, but, like, it's not like he's shot fewer. Like, as far as attempts he shot, this is roughly the same amount of attempts he shot, like, the last couple seasons, right? But he's currently shooting 40% from deep, as opposed to his best season from deep, which was 37%.
Okay, back so in the 16-17 season.
Like, yeah, like, it's not that crazy, but it's also, like, this is by far his best season with this amount of volume, though. Like, almost a 10-point difference. Mm. Percentage point difference. So,
going brazy.
That may or may not be sustainable, but, like, the scoring otherwise is, like, he can probably keep it up. But again, don't depend on him for your defense. It's just probably a bad idea.
Calvin, I done told you this so many times on this podcast. Defense is overrated. And
it is until you don't have any.
Hey, you don't need none when you Kevin Durant. All you need is elbows.
I mean, you might not need defense as Kevin Durant, but, like,
yeah, but who's
they're more than Kevin Durant on the Knicks. And again, they have no depth, which you also think doesn't matter, but, like, they're also just, they're currently 4-3 and, like, the 8th seed in the conference.
See me in the 8 in the playoffs where we only got to play 7 players.
That's facts.
That's why I say it's for untalented teams, yo.
Look, if you're not careful, they're going to look up and there won't be a playoffs.
Impossible. We're a playoff team, baby. Even if we're the 10th seed, we coming out of that.
I don't know. Like, Harden's struggling. You think, he's struggling without being able to draw them fouls.
Did you say, I don't know?
I said, I don't know.
You don't think we coming out of... That's crack. You on timeout. That's the mutual mic. We haven't had a mutual mic segment in 2 seasons, and you just got it. That's crazy, bro. You are crazy.
Look, that rotation is suspect, and you know it. And it hurt them. It's hurt them so far. Will continue to hurt them because the minute a dude gets hurt, like, you're playing a dude who should get like 10 minutes max. 40 minutes a game. That's not sustainable.
I am a Kevin Durant fan. Why are you speaking logic to me?
Because Kevin Durant needs help he's not getting right now.
That's why I'm in the future, baby. Just like Kevin Durant's player build. We in the future with it. We not
in
worried
the future,
about
Kyrie's still not playing because he still hasn't got his shot.
Hey, understand that if we go 41 and 41, that's 500. You're going to have to see us in the playoffs. And I want to hear that. I want to hear that. Not the Memphis,
East,
exactly.
Like, can be kind of suspect.
Exactly. That's why I'm not worried, bro. That bottom half, ooh, that's the black sticky stuff on the bottom of your shoe. I'm not worried about them.
Like,
it's called tar.
No, it's called bubble gum.
How long did you let the bubble gum stay on your shoe?
So long that it's black?
That's never happened to y'all before?
No, I clean my shoes.
It's never stayed under there that long. I'm sorry.
Man said tar. Are you alright?
You said black. I didn't think gum.
Come on, man. Where are y'all living at? Yeah. Okay. Maybe
Harden is averaging his worst numbers in a while, right? Like the fewest free throw attempts. I don't even have to check to know that, and like 39% from the field.
Yeah, let's talk about something that's like not as depressing for me personally.
No, real quick, I have to say before we move on. You're talking about surprises still. Mm-hmm. Minnesota Timberwolves are one game above 500.
That's mm-hmm. actually pretty surprising. I won't lie.
Now, Anthony Edwards is that guy. he's a dog. But Carl Anthony Towns just doesn't have good teams. He's like a Kevin Love type of like really good numbers on really bad teams. In for the exact same team.
The Timberwolves don't do much with their star power forwards, but that's another discussion.
And they have D'Angelo Russell, so it shouldn't be surprising that they're one game over 500. But it's not the fact that they're one game over 500. They're also really exciting to watch. Like legit. They're like a fun team to watch because they just have synergy and can play well together and so on and so forth. So I would look for them to be a team that's going to be a play-in game. You know what I mean? A play-in game, 7th, 8th seed in the playoffs. But, you know, it's kind of just surprising to me that I'm even speaking the name Minnesota Timberwolves even 7 games to the season because I try my hardest to not do it.
So the Timberwolves are the Knicks if nobody cared about the Knicks. Like, you don't do much with your star players. You haven't been good in forever. Like,
I can't say that because Minnesota doesn't have a championship.
That's
hilarious. Minnesota fans have nothing. I mean nothing to be a fan base about. Outside of the team being in their general location, don't have a single reason.
No joke. That is a hilarious take.
I mean, like, that's you're correct, right? At least, you know, the Knicks had a championship back in, like, the late 70s. But, like, since the 90s, right? After, you know, no more Ewing, right? They're basically the same. Like, it might as well be the same team in a better location. Like, you'll have a decent player, but y'all don't do anything. Like,
yeah.
Y'all don't do anything. You disappoint every year.
Minnesota is the Knicks minus the big-time media coverage.
Pretty much.
That's so funny. I'm not gonna lie to you. Because it's just real. I don't disagree. Like, I just don't disagree with that take. But with that media coverage comes a lot of perks. Which is a rabid fan base that is ignorantly entertaining.
So what I'm hearing is to save Minnesota, because yes, they need saving. They've been in the league, 40 years? And I haven't seen them play a single playoff game?
They played they played in the playoffs that one year they had Derrick Rose. I remember because it was the last time I saw him dunk.
I don't remember that.
They were also in the playoffs when they had Jimmy Butler.
That, yeah.
And I think they had
Jimmy Butler year.
What was that, 2016?
No, 2017?
2017?
I think something like that, yeah.
Bro, how I forget you had a playoff... Wow, Cat has playoff experience. I never thought about him as a playoff experience.
Because it happening one time is not going to make people remember that it happened.
Yeah, that's also not really experience, right? Like, I've been on a cruise boat once. Do I have cruise boat experience?
Yes, that's literally how experience works.
Cruise boating? No, I'm not. I just been on a cruise boat once. He's been in the playoffs once. He doesn't have playoff experience.
Look, I didn't say he was experienced. I said he has experience.
He's been there
before. I rode a bike once. I have bike riding experience. I'm not a bike rider.
You're not Lance Armstrong out here.
No, not at all.
He's like, I'm not trying to be either.
Don't want to be. So many good jokes. Can't use them here. Guys, let's go ahead and get into the next topic.
So I just want to point out the Clippers are still worse than I expected them to be at this point.
Why? Why would you think the Clippers are supposed to be good without Kawhi?
No, but like
I think I just kind of assumed they would be like a play-in team. Like, I didn't think that was unreasonable. And like, it might be unreasonable. Like, even if Paul George puts up career numbers, which is wild to think about.
They'll figure it out. I have no issues with them. I think they'll figure it out. But right now, they won one game, I believe, which is never a good thing. But they are also missing their best players, so it's kind of realistic at the same time at this point.
Yeah, but isn't he going to be out for a while, though?
I have no idea how long he's going to be out, to the truth.
I mean, you know, they said Kawhi got the bionic knee, so he could... is looking kind of good, but I don't know what kind of good means for Kawhi Leonard. Like, even when he's like somewhat healthy, he gonna take a rest. He gonna tell him like, hey, I don't play on the weekends, baby. And I get it. I'm not mad at it. I wish I could do the same thing. But your team needs you.
Here's the thing though, is like, looking at it, without Kawhi, their second best player is Reggie Jackson. And like, Reggie Jackson is currently not shooting 30% from deep.
From all those
29% off like 9.6 attempts a game. Paul George is still playing well, 27 points, 50% shooting, 37% from deep, 7.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 3.4 steals.
For all those fans
out there, crazy
that watched Reggie Jackson when he was with the Detroit Pistons. Or all those fans that watch Reggie Jackson who played well as a backup point guard in OKC, but they got extremely overpaid after that, you're like, that playoff Reggie Jackson saw last year, that's not this guy. Well, this guy is what we're seeing right now in what the Detroit Pistons saw. He had a really good, he had a magnificent playoffs last year. But that was you know, he had one...
He's not a regular season guy.
Or playoffs. He had 1 minute in playoffs. He's not a magnificent playoff player. Kind of like, you know, Conley Town.
Look, I'm not going to... I like Reggie Jackson. I like what he brings. But last year's playoffs was the first time I ever saw him be a starting point guard. Never seen him be a starting point guard before then. It's always been like...
No, it hasn't. He was a star. He was a starting point guard for the Detroit Pistons.
No. You know, it's one thing for you to
be good enough to be.
Exactly. It's one thing for you to be something. It's a whole other thing for you to be something. Like, he was that strictly by title in necessity. Like, even if you watch him play good for OKC, you was like, okay, yeah, you definitely need to be backing up Russ. Like, if worse come to worse, you guys start together. We'll never make another three-pointer, but you guys can play together. I wouldn't be upset with that. But that's just not how life works. So we have disappointments like the Reggie Jackson experience and people out here putting their hopes in Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I know. Those people are tripping. Put your hopes in Reggie Jackson.
And is Reggie Jackson with the Clippers? Anything plus Clippers kind of makes it a little bit worse than it's already been, historically speaking. Like, I don't know anything that has went to the Clippers and gotten better.
That's true. Well, the
And I don't want to talk about drafting either, because that's completely different.
I don't have any kind of example to give you. Like, I tried to sit here and think of an example real quick, but, like, I'd have to pull pen and paper out and figure that out, because I don't have any examples off the top of my mind to give you. I'm sorry.
Hey, here's another wild thing to say. When you leave the Clippers, you don't get better either.
When you leave the Clippers, you don't get better?
No, like I don't know a person who has left the Clippers and then they took like the next step in their career.
I don't know enough Clippers. Didn't Chauncey Billups play for them at one point?
Wasn't that toward the end of his career?
It was towards the end.
But he was also never like a superstar, or like he didn't have like all star.
You mean somebody of like significance?
Yeah, and I don't want you to like be a star on the Clippers and then go somewhere and be like a rotation player.
Okay, I got you.
Like you might have like better team accomplishments, but you didn't get better as like a singular player.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, But granted, I don't know the history of Clippers players like that. Like I could maybe give you some examples, but I don't know. I didn't care about Clippers players till Blake Griffin, right? I didn't even care about Eric Gordon until Blake Griffin got drafted.
Right? It's okay. Nobody cared about the Clippers before Blake Griffin.
Exactly. And like
except for like the three Clippers fans before. Sorry.
Think about it. Blake Griffin changed.
Clipper Daryl.
Blake Griffin changed the franchise.
He made people kind of care because, like, young Blake Griffin was the truth. And he dunked everything every night. It was just... the thing is that...
people kind of care about the Clippers. That's changing history in basketball. The Clippers have been significant ever since.
True. That's true.
The Clippers drafting Blake Griffin changed basketball history.
It at very least changed the Clippers. They're no longer a complete laughing stock. They're only kind of one. Exactly.
It went from the worst team forever to, you know, on the tips of people's tongues for 10 plus years. Blake Griffin is a prophet. The basketball messiah, so.
All right, you wildin'. Let's get out of this blasphemy. guys, so my biggest surprise is this would have been the NBA 75 list turned NBA 76 because they were too weak to just break a tie. So my biggest thing is not anyone who made the list, but strictly somebody who did not make the list. And I'll take the L because this is a person that I talk about all the time. And honestly, I can only think of one person that he is clear and by far has a better career than and should definitely be on this list. And that is Dwight Howard getting snubbed. Now,
Alan, I need you to take about 20 minutes to just go on a rant about why Dwight Howard is a snub, because you are the Dwight Howard guy of this podcast.
See, I would have done that, but I got interrupted, so my momentum is now thrown off, and I will do as best as I possibly can, my friend.
Can I hype you up?
I don't need hype up, bro. See me? I bring me everywhere I go. But anyway... there's one glaring name on this entire list that upsets me as a Dwight Howard fan, and that is Anthony Davis. You telling me Anthony Davis' potential? His potential is greater than all that Dwight Howard has done. You can't convince me of that, because part of your potential means you got to be on the court, or at some point you have to produce. And I won't say this because Anthony Davis has great numbers. Have they produced anything of note? Have they produced any type of winning? I get it. He has a championship. He also did it next to the GOAT. He also did it in the
bubble. Dwight Howard also helped. We can't forget that part. Which feels
bad. Yeah, but thank you. Like, Dwight Howard was there. What are you? Bro, you, I don't think you understand how much you just blew my mind with this. You mean to tell me we getting Anthony Davis over here? I gotta pull up Anthony Davis rap sheet. I know it's gonna be nice. I know it's gonna be impressive.
I got it for you. All right, I already got it. Okay. All right, Anthony Davis to this point in his career, right? This is just awards and such, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll leave out the NCAA stuff just
because he can have it on there. Because I need him to use that because I think I got the tough part or whatever he got.
All right, he NBA champ, one championship, 8-time All Star. NBA All-Star Game MVP in 17, 4-time NBA First Team, 2-time All-Defensive First Team, 2-time All-Defensive Second Team, 3-time Block Leader, All-Rookie First Team, All-NCAA Champion, Final Four Most Outstanding Player, Consensus Player, NCAA Player of the Year, Consensus First Team All-American, Defensive Player of the Year, National Freshman of the Year, SEC Player of the Year, NCAA Blocks Leader, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, SEC Rookie of the Year. Good Lord, they got a lot of stuff in college. I'm sorry. First Team All-American, McDonald's All-American. All right. Dwight Howard, NBA Champion, 8-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA First Team, 1-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time All-NBA Third Team, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 4-time All-Defensive First Team, 1-time All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie First Team, 5-time Rebounding Leader, 2-time Blocks Leader, NBA Slam Dunk Contest Champ, Naismith Prep Player of the Year, Jesus, Player of the Year, McDonald's All-American Co-MVP, First Team Parade All-American, and of course, Georgia Mr. Basketball.
And I got an award that you just can't put on the list. Because it is a way of life. Dwight Howard.
Oh yeah, two gold. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you go ahead.
Two goals in international play. Also
compared to Anthony Davis is one.
Actually, he is two. Like just general international play. Dwight also has a bronze from the 06 Japan, like,
FIBA. That don't count. Anything before 08 don't count.
Wait, so you're counting Anthony Davis's ride-the-bench 2012 gold medal?
That's why I was saying
I'm just listing everything this year.
Okay, because he played.
He got backpacked.
He played very... very, 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 I'd continue more if it would not get annoying, small minutes.
Their team manager did more than Anthony Davis did.
He was the team manager, so he was there. He was there to get water.
Go get us donuts.
He'd buy
this foreign country.
He'd buy this shit for America.
Look. When we're talking about potential and where we can go and what we can do, I'll give it to you. Anthony Davis has a higher ceiling. Dwight Howard pretty much done. I'll give him that. His done is also a double-double and still really good at defense. After a broken back. So, I do not understand how... Let's go back. NBA All-Stars. Even. 8 for both of them. NBA Championships. Even. Mainly because Dwight Howard made sure he got that. All-NBA First Team selections. 5 for Dwight. 4 for our unibrow Farrington. What's this?
What's your problem?
All NBA appearances. We got 5 for Dwight. We got 4 for our young friend.
Are we including first, second, and third team?
Team? We don't even have to go by second team. Because you want to know who doesn't have any second team appearances?
Or third team.
Anthony Davis.
Yes.
That's funny. I mean, Anthony Davis has always had the potential to be something. But Dwight Howard at one point was the best center in the world.
He was a cultural icon at one point. Before people decided to not like... Hey, he was Superman. Man. Everybody got excited to come see that man dunk for 3 straight years. It was a battle between him and Nate Robinson. That was the show. We didn't care. Okay,
but we're talking about all-time greats. Anything, we can't be out here putting up, talking about... We can't be out here talking about dunk contest stuff.
We're talking about a cultural icon. Even his play on the court, before people was like, I don't really like Dwight because he's childish. He smiles too much. He has too much fun. He's not serious.
That was me.
Yeah, that is a stupid thing to say for a bunch of grown men playing a game for money. It is not even like it's a high stakes game. This ain't Squid Games where somebody getting murdered after.
You are very simple. Turnover. What sports is that is sports to like the most simplest degree, but that's not what sports is in context. In context, you're a bunch of grown men playing. He's smiling too much. Yeah, and later now he wants to. Now he's part of the narrative that he was that way because Stan Van Gundy was so harsh and so like stern that he had to be that way to bring his teammates' morale up. That's the thing I've heard him say in the last like year, which is you couldn't say it ever like before this. like that all of a sudden now we found this out. I remember that he said that when Stan Van Gundy got fired from the or separated, I guess, from the Pelicans job.
Like they got divorced.
Yeah, something like that, right? Entanglement. With like the Pelicans job. And I was one of the people that was like, why is he like laughing and smiling so much? Which is like, you know, like a weird competitive nature in me, I guess. When you have dudes like LeBron, who like were a smiling guy, but when he wanted to win, he was like in it. Or like you had dudes like, everybody's used to the greats being serious about their job in sports. And Dwight Howard was like a goofball who wore double sleeves. So it was like double shooting sleeves when you can't shoot. It was a wild accessory that he like tried to start, but it was only him ever.
You see how all the things that you are talking about have not taken away his greatness. This man won 3 straight defensive player of the years. When he was locked in on the defensive end and dunking on people. And I mean dunking on people. I mean like dunking donuts on a man.
Dwight Howard being in the top 75, like I believe he should have been.
Easy.
Like, I'm not one of the people that say he should have been. I believe he should have been. But I did have issues with Dwight when he actually played, or when he like played significant roles and minutes in the NBA. But with all it being said, as you just mentioned, he should definitely be a top 75 player ever, 100%.
Easy.
Yeah, him being that way is not a wild thought process.
Look. And I would love for us to sit down and do like an exercise or thought experiment, and we take it back to what they were doing for the NBA, the NBA top 10. I mean, not the top 10, but the top 50. You know, they just took the 10 best players at their position for the top 50. Does the Is Dwight in your top 15 centers of all time?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
now is Anthony Davis your top 15 power forward of all time?
All these years, he couldn't develop a hook shot. 100% still bothersome to me. Like, if you were alive in Pacers and basketball in that moment of time of like 5 years, to where Dwight Howard was like, was doing the Ben Simmons of like having off-season footage of him like doing footwork moves with Hakeem Olajuwon and shooting backboard jumpers and hook shots. Like, he did the Ben Simmons before, and then all of a sudden you come to the game and it's not part of his game at all. Like, he did the Ben Simmons formula before Ben Simmons was in the league. And that was the Dwight Howard formula. So if you're angry at Ben Simmons for what he was doing now, or like in that context, or when it comes to that kind of stuff, not the contract, the construction stuff. If you're mad at Ben Simmons for that kind of stuff, you are also the same person who would have been mad at Dwight Howard for doing almost the exact same thing.
Also a Dwight Howard teammate, ex-teammate. So again, Anthony Davis, you're looking more like Ben Simmons than Dwight Howard, just saying.
But like, here's the thing though, right? And part of why you might not necessarily be upset of, like, hypothetically, right? Same people wouldn't necessarily be upset at Howard like they are with Simmons. Is it like, unlike Dwight, right? It seemed with a lot of Simmons' problems seem to be mostly mental. Like, he's actively like not being as aggressive as he should be, in spite of wanting to be the main guy, right? But not being aggressive like you would need to do, right? Not actually trying like you need to. And like, you can say what you want about Dwight, but you're never gonna say he didn't try, right? Like, you're not like, are you gonna, like, you're gonna sit and be like, yeah, dude who put up, who had multiple seasons of like 20 and 13 plus didn't try to play like to on the offensive end or something, right? Now, like, it all didn't necessarily show up in his game, but you're not gonna be like, oh, he didn't give the effort, right? And you can look at Simmons and be like, yeah, he didn't give the effort. Yeah, he turned down a wide open dunk, right, in the playoffs, right? You're never gonna say that about Dwight. You might be like, in spite of all that off-season footage of him working on free throws, his free throw shooting is still hot garbage. But like, he didn't turn out a dunk because he was afraid to shoot free throws.
Ben Simmons, this segment is about Dwight Howard. I don't know how you keep catching strays. I didn't do this by the way. My gun is still in my holster. I ain't shot nothing at you. I compared you to Anthony Davis, one of the greatest 76 basketball players of all time.
Ben Simmons, Dwight Howard.
Who we still don't think should be on that list. So
Ben Simmons, Dwight Howard offseason narratives are similar. Like, you see them in footage work on things in the summertime, or you did for Dwight. You see them work on things in the summertime that you will never see them do in games every single season. And Ben Simmons just following the formula that Dwight Howard set up for a cool minute a long time ago. You know what I mean? And I really didn't connect these dots till this conversation. And I'm like kind of impressed with myself that I did, because it makes a lot of sense. Because the same reasons I'm mad at Ben Simmons, one of the reasons that upset me about Ben Simmons, and like, he gonna be shooting threes this year, I had these exact same emotions with Dwight Howard with the left hook. Like, that's all it was for him. Ooh, he gonna develop that hook shot this year instead of just screening and rolling. And then, and the fact that he became the best post player in the NBA by just screening and rolling, dunking, is kind of ridiculous in his own right. Either he was really good at basketball, or the centers were really bad at that time.
Oh, the centers were awful, by the way. Zdzenis Ilgauskas.
The centers in the NBA when Dwight Howard was at his prime were him, Dwight Howard, Andrew Bynum, and Brook Lopez.
Don't forget Shaq.
No, I'm talking about prime.
You said what?
Prime.
I think
Prime Dwight
still hung around a little.
Yeah, Shaq was still there.
Shaq was hanging around. Shaq wasn't the best. Shaq wasn't a top four center in the league.
Better than Zdzenis Ilgauskas.
Phoenix Suns Shaq was making all-stars, but he was making all-stars off of like legacy a lot. He had like one or two years of like he actually deserved it, but other times it was like, I mean, he's Shaq. You know what I mean? So, you know, he got the Kobe treatment. Kobe should not have been in some of those finals, or should not have been some of games, but no.
Hey, we really got to stop that. I really hope we've seen our last little bit of like, here you go.
That Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, little.
Oh, they were extras, though. They were basically extras. Like, they didn't actually get, like, a vote.
I don't need you to get an extra, though.
I know. You can be a team captain. I'll let you be a team captain. Yeah, as long as you're not taking up a roster spot. Cool. I just don't want to see fans be like, he deserves it. No, he doesn't. He sucks.
Dirk played in that game.
Oh, yeah. They played, but they didn't take up, like, a voting spot, if that makes sense.
I don't want to see you on the court. And I'm being dead serious. Like, I don't want to see him on the court. Like, I get it. You are great. But are we going to do this to every great player at every... No other sport does that. Are we going to do this to every single great player to ever play NBA? Because eventually, okay, you did it for Dirk. You did it for Dwayne. Eventually, someone's not going to deserve that little captain spot, and they're going to get it. And it's going to be like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? And then that's when I get annoyed. I'm like, and that's when you shouldn't have started in the first place.
All right, like, Captain Burrell, let's get back to Dwight Howard and how he deserves to be on the top 76 way more than Anthony Davis at this point. And look, Anthony Davis beats Dwight Howard in one category. He led the league in blocks one time more than Dwight Howard ever has. And that is a really, really great thing. But if we go by like the advanced statistics, I guarantee all of the seasons combined do not, I repeat, do not have a better defensive rating than any one of Dwight Howard's seasons when he's in his prime. And we're not talking, his prime wasn't just like the 3 years where he was winning defensive player. It was 8 years. That's almost a decade of just throwing people shit. We haven't got that from Anthony Davis.
I remember when Dwight, like, I was like prime age, late middle school, high school, for Dwight being like that guy. And like, dude had like got milk posters in like every cafeteria in the country. Like, yes. Dude was like dude was really like I talk all that crap about him. Dude was a cultural phenomenon, though. Like, at least 3 to 4 years of his prime, like, he was like that guy. And that dunk contest when he slapped his face and sticker on the backboard, like, my grandma was talking about that. I remember my grandma and my mom talking about that. They don't even watch sports. I'm like,
bro, revitalized. He revitalized the dunk contest.
Yeah, because after him, it took until Zach LaVine to do it.
Bro, they was out here blowing cupcake. Well, this is pretty cool dunk by Gerald Green. They was out here blowing cupcakes off the rim. Like, dog, that is really, that's not. Cool. It's cool, but it's not cool at the same time, bro. Like,
listen, and that's cool. This dude blew a cupcake out from above the rim. That's crazy.
It's like cool adjacent. Like, I'm glad that you did it, but like, like, go put your arm in there, dog.
I'm weak. That's cool, like, adjacent. I mean, listen, the fact that Dwight. Like, right now, off the top of my head, I can name, like, three Dwight, you know, dunk contest dunks. It's, you know, an incredible feat in its own right, right? And and he was a cultural phenomenon for, like, dunks at that time, because he wasn't just, like, a dunker. He was, like, a dunker also, as I mentioned earlier, the best player in his position in the NBA. So much so that he made Shaq insecure about that Superman thing. So, it was a whole thing. But at the end of the day, Dwight deserves to be in the top 75. I really don't care who you take out. Dwight needs to be there.
Look,
I think if you take folks out, my recommendations, and don't really matter which one.
The people with black and white pictures gotta go.
Allen ageist.
AD.
Yes.
Dame. Carmelo.
No. Wait, who were your three players again?
Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Damian Lillard.
No.
Carmelo Anthony.
Okay, so I rescind my no for Damian Lillard because I feel like his window of greatness has been shorter than Dwight's overall. Dwight got 8 years. I think, what, if we being real, Damian Lillard is probably like 5 years and being like, oh, okay, this is, we ain't never seen this. This is crazy. This is nuts. Melo, because he has scored so many points, I could see people being like, oh, he deserves it. But again, when we look at like resumes, and I get it, if we tie in like international stuff and college stuff, that resume that Melo has, absolutely ridiculous. He's going to have the all-star appearances. He might even have more like first team All-NBAs. I'm not about to look that up. We almost at the end of the show. I don't care that much to really be going through it. But like, there is an argument for his production that
actually, oddly, apparently, he's never had a first team All-NBA.
Well, I lied. Going back to Dwight over these dudes.
I just looked at that.
Look, I'm gonna say something, and I know it's true, so I don't care how any of this goes out. When we talk about durability, we have to talk about, especially for a big man, we gotta talk about Dwight. Pre-breaking his back, this man...
Morgan's back broke.
Pause. This man literally missed 7 total games for basically an 8-year stretch. He missed 7 total games.
He's very dependable.
Very. And we're only talking about 2 seasons where he didn't play the max, and it wasn't because of like injuries, probably like rest or whatever. You want to know who has never played more than 75 games?
Anthony Davis.
Anthony. Oh, I was about to be very rude with my nickname for him, Davis. Like, no. That boy Sam Bowie in the body. Like, oh, no. I'm not okay with this at all, bro. It's like no disrespect. The year after Dwight Howard broke his back, he played 76 games with the Lakers. Like, come on.
Come on. Really? This man was a big Dwight fan, man.
Bro, look, when I tell you, you know, at the beginning of 2Ks, after you win a championship, they give you the first 2 championship teams. When I tell you, I played with the Lakers maybe 2 times out of the 1,000 times I played 2K10, I was like, why? Why would I choose Kobe over Dwight Howard? I can't shoot on this game. It don't even matter. I'm going to just block everything. I'm going to block it. Dunk everything. What are we playing this game for?
What are you playing?
Yeah, man. What'd you say?
I was repeating what you said because you really impassioned by this whole entire like thing. Like, you, like, I feel your energy.
I really think if people knew who like my favorite players are, like the ones that I like die hard, they'd be like, why do you live this way? It's like, because they enjoy things. Dwight Howard looks like he enjoys himself. Kevin Durant, he be looking grumpy most of the time, but he seems like he enjoys himself. Like, I'm really out here rocking for the dude that looks happy at his job. I don't want to be unhappy. That doesn't seem fun.
Granted, Kevin Durant ain't truly looked happy in years.
Yeah, that's because he clearly working on something on the inside. like I know this might sound, it is what it is. He working on something on the inside. I get it. You got to work out that demon. It's going to be a great book if you ever decide to release it. Or the best Twitter thread ever. Whichever one you decide to do, I'm on the fence about reading it.
Kevin Durant's going to be like, has a burner account? Man, you know what's so bad? You know what? I bet Kevin Durant's feeling this. And just goes on. It's going to be hilarious.
It's like not Kevin Durant's memoir. It's going to be the Twitter name. So,
if I may, though, real quick, away from Dwight Howard a little bit, because, of course, as we mentioned, Melo is on the 75 all-time list, and, like, I don't really think he should be there. Right? And a lot of it is just, like, again, right, first off, one, Dwight Howard's not on the list, and, like, the accolades for Melo aren't really there. The playoff success isn't really there. Like, and, okay, I'm going to put it like this, because I've thought about this and, like, how to phrase it. So, way back around the time when he first got on the Knicks, or, like, while during that time, right, I'm in high school, I get Sports Illustrated, and they do like a cover story about Melo. And they legit ask a question, right? You know, is he really like one of the best players in the league, or just like one of the greatest role players of all time? Right? To phrase it. I think the answer is one of the greatest role players of all time. Cause like he never really did what he needed to do to be the guy for real. Right? He didn't put in the effort on things that aren't scoring. Right? He had like one season, right? And like the rest of the time it's just like, yeah, you scored, but like you didn't do anything. If we're gonna make the argument that like I feel like we're going to make the argument that there are dudes to be left out who put up numbers like that, then like you can't necessarily put Melo in, because he put up numbers like that, but it didn't really mean much. Ooh. Right?
Ooh. Melo kind of like high up there on like the all-time scoring list. I think he like the only person who didn't win a ring like that. Like AI's up there, kind of close to him, but again, kind of like cultural phenomenon.
Is Allen Iverson top 75?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's on.
You can't make that role player argument if Allen Iverson's up there.
But he also physically couldn't do anything else besides put the ball in the basket.
But Carmelo Anthony, the way he plays the game, is
Iverson's
a
modern
version of how people play basketball.
Like,
Wait, what?
Repeat that.
Oh, the way Carmelo Anthony plays basketball is a more modern version of how people play basketball. Like, you have scores, people who just score, and how many people in the top 15 aren't in the top 75 of the list? I'm a guarantee, probably zero, besides Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has been on really good teams that have underachieved, unfortunately. One of them being the Denver team, where they had AI and Chauncey Billups, all kind of stuff, and Kmart. They're one of the best teams in the league, but they underachieved. You know what I mean? I think he was also a victim of circumstance. But I would never go as far, me personally. I would never go as far to call him a role player of any kind, shape, or form. I think that's wildly disrespectful to this man.
Imagine scoring almost 30 points a game and someone's like, you need to do more. Excuse you? How about you go get somebody to go stand in the corner and play defense? How about that?
But like, here's the thing, my though, job. Right?
We in the game because like, of me, son.
But it's just like, we don't win because you don't do what you need to do is supposedly the, like, it's like the best player on the team, right?
Tell somebody else to go like, do that. I score 30.
You can't, but like, here's the thing. Like, if you're going to do that, you can't say you're the best player on the team, though. I feel like you can't be like, I'm the guy here. If you're going to be like, oh, somebody else gets to do it.
Who going to check
right?
Me? Birdman?
Like, but like, here's the thing, though, right? If you're not going to try on anything else, then you're going to be the reason your team underachieves. Right? You don't put in the extra effort. You don't make the extra pass. You don't try on defense. You are the reason that your team underachieves, especially when they're otherwise a solid team, right?
My man,
like, you can't be like, I put my best foot. You can't be like,
My man ain't score 40 on me. I won my matchup.
Did you, though?
Yes, look at the box score.
Like, you're just being difficult.
Yes, because that's exactly how Melo was in that locker room, boy.
Yeah, but like, it's still just like, okay, you're being difficult. That doesn't make you right. That doesn't mean you weren't the reason we like. That doesn't mean you did as much as you could to make sure the team won. Right. That doesn't mean you.
It's blah, just... blah blah blah. I scored 30,
and we lost because you didn't try on defense. You're like, dudes are constantly cutting on you. You didn't put it like. You're the reason we lost. Like, you're out here happy because you put up 40, but we lost.
Go give me a rim protector. How about that?
Why don't you be the rim protector? You're like 6'9". You can put in the extra effort on defense. You can try shit.
I can barely dunk. Why would I do that?
You can try. I don't see the effort.
I got a 12-inch vertical, baby. Why you think I'm in the mid-post? Have you ever... Come on now.
Like,
I don't even know what y'all talking about no more.
We're just
we're having a mock interview, and I'm quite
our basic argument boils down whether or not, like, just because you put up 30, that means like you shouldn't have had to do anything else. That's what this argument basically boils down to.
If you can find me somebody else in this league that can score 30 every single day. Go ahead.
It's just like, but you don't do anything else. All the other dudes up in that range can do other things. They pass the ball. They shoot higher percentages. They get more rebounds.
Sound like they better than me. You should go get them. Oh, you can't? Shut up.
But then, like, you can't be mad when, like, you fall off and dudes don't assign you no more. Right, because you never did anything else to begin with except put the ball in the hoop. How's that not a role player?
That's besides the point. I'm still in Denver, baby. I'm still in Denver. I don't know what you're talking about. That ain't happened to me yet.
But it's clearly, like, you know I'm right and you just don't want to concede the point.
Exactly. But y'all, this has been a very fun episode indeed. Calvin is glitching. I hope I don't have to edit that out. It's going to be very awkward and tedious to do. But since you stuck around with us this far, go ahead and do all the fun things on YouTube. Like, subscribe so you can get... Oh, and press like the bell notification so you can like get us as soon as we come out. You know, we do the whole premiere and everything. And pretty soon, we're going to be starting a Patreon, so we're going to need you guys to help support us so we can do this full time and I can stop giving y'all poor production, because I do love you and I want you to have the best viewing experience possible. I promise I do. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Thank you guys for being with us for this wall ride. I have been your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me, my guys can go ahead and sign themselves out.
Once again, you know, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here. I usually sound more sane than I did here at the end, I promise you. And also, we're talking college basketball next week, and we'll probably do a prospects corner here in the not-too-distant future. So, yeah, thank you for sticking with us.
Ooh.
And I'm Philip Dixon. I don't know what happened. This went off the rails real quick. I'm all about it. I'm not going to lie to you. So, join us next week and every week for basketball.
Oh, right. What? The game is beautiful, dog. What's wrong with you?
You just sounded like you about to give the game's eulogy.
I just saw somebody miss a wide open layup and it made me angry. Sorry. Keep going. Sorry.
Why does your anger sound like depression, dog? You got to get that together.
Because it's a wide open layup. It might be depression.
We got it here today to celebrate basketball. Its best days are behind us. Not really, but that's how you sounded.
Wow. You really went for that, Calvin, didn't you?